right. Spate Radio, we are back, and we have a entertainment legend in the building, somebody that was really important when one of the most important shows when I was growing up. Mr. Alvin Jones, let's give him a round of applause.
I love Spate Radio. That's the only thing to sweat. Like, there's nobody...
Definitely. Before we even get started, I had to say to you that when I was growing up, there was only three shows that I watched that I was able to get hip hop content from. And number one was Rap City. Number two was Yo MTV Raps. And then since I lived in New York, I had Ralph McDaniels.
And Lionel Martin. Don't forget Lionel.
Lionel Martin?
Yeah, Ralph and Lionel did it together, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, okay. Yeah, so those were the only three shows that I had, and the funny thing was, I think Rap City ended in 2008, right?
We did about 19 years, so it's probably 2007, 2008. We started 89, so yeah, probably 2008. It was
okay,
so
long
ago. I'm getting old, okay. Man. I just turned 65 at the beginning of this year, so yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. I started my podcast in 2007. So a lot of the stuff that I saw on Rap City really had a lot to do with what I was doing. Because when I was growing up, I used to have this piece of paper on the wall, and I had everybody come in the room and write their name on it. And that was something that I saw on Rap City.
Which is kind of cool because guess what? If they become famous, you got them right then and there.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So,
I'll give you.
So I thank you for that.
No. Thank you for following up. You know, you would like to think that something you do helps people, gives them good memories that they can recall, and you know, years later. They could be with some friends. Oh, man, remember this and so forth. It was funny. I was up at the Capitol, and I ran into Roy Jefferson, who played first for the Pittsburgh Steelers and then played for what was the Washington Redskins. And I walked in, and I knew, I'm saying, Sweet Pea. And it was just the idea that, you know, back in the day, let me tell you how it was back in the day. We didn't have jerseys. What we do is take a white shirt, and you take your mama's fingernail polish and try to get whatever color it would fit, and you would draw your own number on a white shirt. Yeah, we had a lot of imagination back then. But there's nothing better than the smile on a kid, you know, or someone who goes, you want them to keep that energy. You want them to go, I can do this. I can be that. And I've had so many of those moments in my life that people have done for me, and I try to do the same thing. So you may ask this, but I'm going to beat you to it in case you were. People always ask me, what is your favorite moment on Rap City? Yeah. And most people will say, oh, it was probably, maybe it was Lil Wayne or Kanye, and it was one of the battles. No, it was the first year. When we did Rap City, I wanted to make sure that these young African-American women and men, teenagers, youth, were shown in a positive light. And I'm like, how do I show the humanity of them? So I remember all of the things I heard about Public Enemy. And then when I met Chuck D, I think his daughter's name was Dominique. She was like 9 months old. We were backstage at the Cap Center, and he was with his wife. And I'm like, wait a minute. They tried to make Public Enemy look like they're militant. I'm sitting here watching a father take care of his daughter and his wife. And I'm like, we have to change the narrative. So my biggest moment on Rap City wasn't the battles, although they were good. It was the first year when we went to Children's Hospital and did a Christmas special at Children's Hospital.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And that, you know, and that shows that the feeling, that's a good feeling when you're doing something for the community, something that positive.
Right. Well, For me, I got into media to be able to help. I've been an empath, or as people say, man, you're always picking up homeless puppies. I was like, but you know, homeless puppies need to eat. Puppies need love too. And I just always said to God, if you give me that ability, I'll try to do the best that I can with it and amplify that. And I have what's called musical Tourette syndrome. So I can either create a song or think of a song that fits anything. And I remember when the fly, they go, if there ain't no beauty, you got to make some beauty. Have mercy. And yeah. So I think we, especially as Black people, people of color, we need to be given our dignity. And I think it starts with us giving ourselves our dignity and giving us permission. And I think sometimes when you radiate your dignity, other people catch it. It's almost like laughter. You ever been in a room with somebody and just started laughing? You're like, what the heck is going on with them? And their laughter gets you to laugh. And so we have that innate ability to love, to care. And I think a lot of times it's not shown by, I don't want to use the term mainstream media, but I think it's not shown by the people who don't understand that we have it. So by having LL Cool J and the Fat Boys, Chuck Chilla, Cool Chip, Kwame, MC Light, Run DMC at Children's Hospital, and each one had their little buddy. So LL had his little buddy, his DJ had his little buddy. So you had Jam Master J, you had Run and DMC, they had their buddy, Kwame and A-Sharp. And the kids got a chance to come up and be on TV, talk about what they liked, what they wanted for Christmas. And that is something that wasn't difficult to pull off. It just had to be, it just had to be addressed and say, here, these are the people. Because when you start working with these artists, you get to know them as a person. Because while you're waiting for the tapings and you're doing stuff when you're backstage and they're waiting to go on and they're chilling, you're talking to people like, these are just your people. And so... Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we think the celebrities are different. The only difference is they push past the pain. They push past the trouble. They push past the uncertainty. So there are people right now who are celebrities, they just haven't celebrated it yet. There are people who are trying to do things. And there are people who are artists. There are people who are accountants. There are people who want to be nurses. There are all these people who have these gifts. And I just want people to understand that you have that permission. And the only person you have to ask for permission is yourself.
Yeah. That's a great way to look at it, definitely. So let's take us back a little bit. And, you know, basically, what was going on at the time that you felt that Rap City would be important to even create?
Okay, well, first of all, here's what's going on. And I talked about this. The documentary is Welcome to Rap City. And it debuted on BET, I think it was October 10th. And first thing I said is Bob didn't like rap music. Nor did Jeff Lee, who was the vice president for network operations. And I remember one time I was in the office and we were playing the Fat Boys All You Can Eat. And they were like, who the heck is this? I'm like, it's the Fat Boys. Why is that stuff on my TV station? Most people did not really say, oh, this is what... They thought it was a fad. It was a one-off. Even the radio stations didn't show rap much love. I mean, in New York, you had Mr. Magic, you had Marley Marl, but these were all shows that were on late at night, on the weekends. I have a cassette that I still have on my mantle, and it's a cassette I got from MC Hammer. It was January, it was probably 22nd, 1988. I was out in San Diego for the Super Bowl. And I've gone to many Super Bowls. I never go to the games. By the time the games happen, that was one of the few times that I was still there after the game. I just normally go to the parties, right? And so when I was doing BET as the unseen VJ, doing Video Vibrations, Soft Notes, and Midnight Love, anytime I went into a town, I'd go by the radio station, say, hi, hey, I'm in town. so forth. I did the same thing, and I met this guy who was coming in on a Monday to tape a rap show that was going to air on Saturday. Like I said, it was segregated. You know, it wasn't the back of the bus, but it was the back of the play charts, if, you know, the airtime. And so we met. A few months later, the video for Let's Get It Started came in, and we played it, but there was a lot of pushback because it was shot on video, it wasn't shot on film. And so with that, I went to Jeff Newman, who was the video senior video producer, and I'd be like, listen, I met the guy, he seems pretty cool, and this is like straight up African. I like the dancing. So we went through the BRE conference, Black Radio Exclusive, that was run by Sidney Miller. It was like an uncle to me, God rest his soul. And I run into Hammer, and I'm like, hey, here's what's going on. So at that time, a lot of stuff was going on in Beirut. I said, when you look at the news and you see this footage and it's grainy in Beirut, and then you go to see Red Lobster, that's film. Later on, we were doing a New Year's Eve party down in, where were we? Jacksonville. So it was a lot of, it was Ice-T, Run DMC, it was Luke, it was, how could I forget? It was Public Enemy. For some reason, Public Enemy and Luke's people didn't get along, so they were like tussling. And Hammer sees me in the lobby and goes, hey, come here, I want you to take a look at something. So we go to the tour bus, and he shows me the video for Turn This Mother Out. And he goes, hey, I thought about what you said, and this is why we did the video. But it was interesting because people got on Hammer's like, well, you got all those people and da-da-da-da-da. Long before you started to see that, he and I were talking to this man. Some of the people that travel with me were homeless. There's a couple of guys who just got out of jail. I'm trying to do these things to help my people. And I think sometimes we get very ambitious, and sometimes it collapses over the weight. But let's go back to Hammer came in. We did we did a junior high school over in Southeast, and we had him on the stage, but we had his brother Lewis. We also had the guys that were in the video department. We had guys that were in the marketing department. We even had one of the owners of the limousine company, and we just said there are all these different jobs, and you know this. You know, when you go on to sit, everybody has a job, and even the people in the office that do the clearance. So what we wanted to do is to let young folks who were in junior high school and high school know that there are all these jobs. You can be a writer, you know, you can be a publicist, you can be a videographer, photographer. And so Hammer came in. He was working on a mix. That mix he used for Arsenio Hall show. And at that time, Arsenio Hall was fired. He did Arsenio Hall show, and next thing you know, boom. And one of the things that Hammer did is he made it fun, where people would, oh man, this is fun. It wasn't rough. And I remember one time in D.C., they were like, yeah, we got to get you tickets to see Mech Hammer. And I'm like, it's not a sandwich. It's D.C. Hammer. But it just took a while for hip-hop to be considered. So, and it was Hans Dobson. And I talk about this on the documentary Welcome to Rap City. And I go, listen, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had Rap City, because we're talking about how this goes. He was an intern. So he's an intern, and then you will have a production assistant, then an associate producer, and then a producer. So I'm a producer. He's an intern, and he's not even an intern in the video department. He's an intern in the sports department. But he's talking about rap this and rap. Everybody's like, man, be quiet. And I'm like, yo, come over here. Tell me more about this. And so I'm like, yo, what you talking about? What's this? And, you know, who's this? And so forth. And it was funny because I recently did a keynote speech on DEI. And I'm like, oh, that was DEI. Because it was the diversity of... When we first started, there weren't many black videos. So I had to play Autograph and Billy Joel and Miami Sound Machine and all these other stuff. I even got a gold album for playing 10,000 Maniacs. So we had to have some diversity because there weren't many black videos to get Black radios in, and then we had to get the equity so that the producers would get budgets, and they had to be included into the mix. Now, one of the reasons I started doing a music video show was 1979 was when I first saw music video. So the guys over at Warner Electric Atlantic, so it was Doug Daniel, Tony Winger, Patrick Spencer, and Woody Johnson, and they would let me see these videos in 1979 because I was a student at Howard for production. I'm like, oh man, I want to do this one day. And then 1980 is when BET came about. 81 is when MTV came about. And MTV wouldn't play any black radios. So you had Stephanie Mills, you had Evelyn Champagne King, you had Stephanie and Teddy Pendergrass doing Two Hearts, you had Luther Vandross, you had all of these videos. There's videos for like Olivia Lost and Turned Out by The Whispers, Fantastic Voyage with Lakeside, all of these videos. And Rick James went on Billboard, did a piece in Billboard magazine, and he called out MTV for not playing black videos. And I'm like, yeah, they are black videos. I've seen them. And I put together a show called Star Talk. So we did interviews, Tom Brown, Funkin' for Jamaica, the group Clear. And I was getting ready to do my second show. And then, bam, I get a call from BET. Now, here's what's so crazy about it. I wanted to work at BET, but I wanted to put together a show on finance. I was working with a guy that worked with Merrill Lynch. And his show was called Investor's Guide. So I worked as the weekend relief for Melvin Lindsay, who created The Quiet Storm. So this show was at 6 o'clock. I'd engineer and come in 7. So I had this idea, and boom, here I am. I'm working at BET. But what you realize as we went on, slowly but surely, you got the diversity, the equity, and inclusion. And even with rap being set aside, eventually that happened. But the diversity, equity, inclusion part is also listening to someone who is not on your level, but has the knowledge, including them in the conversation and giving them the equity that they can make suggestions about what should be played. Hey, this video came in, what do you think? Boom. So you mentioned Lionel and Ralph with Music Video Box, and they were on the afternoon. And so Video Soul, they would not put rap in Video Soul. They're like, this is the flagship and we're not doing this. It's kind of like, you know how fathers won't let their daughters date some guys because it's just not. So remember, Video Soul was the marquee show on the channel. You had Donnie, and they didn't want to take a chance. So they just put everything in my show. So it's like, give it to Alvin.
Put everything over there.
Yeah, give it to Alvin. He'll do anything. So I'm in New York at the New Music Seminar, and these guys are like, dude, you ain't playing no rap. What are you talking about? You ain't playing no rap. I'm like, I'm playing rap. Because here's the whole thing. Music Video Box with Lionel and Ralph was so strong, it made us look like we weren't doing nothing.
Wow.
It's kind of like, say I play in a game, and I come in, and I play for the Lakers, and I hit a layup, and I go sit down. And then LeBron comes in and drops 50. Well, I did score, but it doesn't really matter because everybody's looking at what LeBron did. So I was saying to them, no, we're playing it. And they're like, no, Video Soul. I'm like, but I'm playing it. And we're going back and forth. Hank Shockley with Public Enemy. Oh, you're not playing Dougie Fitz. I'm going to be quiet. I said, I just had a meeting with Dennis, Dougie's manager. I want him the guest host. So I was like, I think before Bruno Mars, I did Don't Believe Me, Just Watch. So I said, okay, since y'all think I don't, and it was funny because we're going back and forth, and there were some videos I didn't play. I think it was Coogi rapping Polo, and I didn't play it because they were talking about, and if I can remember, the scene was on the subway, and he was saying, tell your girl to step back or I may have to smack her. And I'm like, I'm not paying that. I'm not playing that. And he's like, oh man, you're a sense. I was like, no, I'm not a gatekeeper. I'm like, I'm a monitor. So at that time, my Aunt Maddie was in 88. Yeah, my Aunt Maddie was 89. And I'm not getting a call from Aunt Maddie. Now, Aunt Maddie lived to be 101, 7 months and 2 days, which meant if I'd done something wrong, I had a whole bunch of more years of her. Why are you playing that video? So that was around the time that Colors came out, the movie. And Ice-T, that was like, and Ice-T's like, I ain't saying nothing, man. He playing me. So I'm like, okay, since y'all say I ain't playing videos, you know, rap videos, I'm going to do a whole week.
Okay.
And if it ain't rap, and that's how I am. Oh, really? Okay, I'm going to just play a whole week of rap. And if it ain't rap, it's a commercial. How about that? And I wanted it to be during the time when people could watch. So back in the day, look. You want help with this joke. I'm so old. You're supposed to say, how old are you, right? Okay, you ready?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're not old.
No. Come on, help. Go with me with this. I'm so old.
How old are you?
I remember when school didn't start until after Labor Day. So what I wanted to do is to do this. And I said, let me do it right before, you know, the week before Labor Day, because if we'd done it when school was in session, you know, we're coming on at 4 p.m., but say Seattle and San Francisco, it's 1 p.m., so people are in school. So I said, I want to do this. And I remember the promotions department wouldn't give me near a promo. Can we make a promo?
Yeah, we ain't got that.
So remember, nobody really liked rap. It was like, you know. So we did the week of, we did rap week. We broke ratings records for BET.
Mm-hmm.
Highest ratings in the history of BET. Bam! So now, we said, okay, we're going to do this again. And so what we did, we were going to do something between Christmas and New Year's. Because to me, it made sense to do it when kids were home so they could watch it. So BET at the time was 52% Black owned by Bob and Sheila Johnson. 16% was owned by HBO. Another 16% was TCI. They were the cable providers. And so that's how we were able to get on the channels. And another 16% was Great Adventures that had King's Dominion. So marketing was put in place by HBO. And then eventually BET got its own sales office. Mm-hmm. And James Ebron was the VP of sales. And he let us come in. Because remember, we're based in D.C. and taped the show.
Okay.
So we come in to tape the show, and we've got, we had Dougie Fresh, Kid and Play, MC Light, Shine Head, Sweet T, Eric B., Audio 2 and Milk. I mean, we just had a whole slew.
Now, remember, the heavy hitters back then.
We just moved in to that building, in that office. So we didn't have much furniture. So you had folks sitting on the floor waiting to get in. And then James was kind enough. He says, y'all going to be here for a while, Yancy. So he ordered pizzas and sodas for us. And you walk in and you see artist Boogie Down Posse. You know, you see Miss Melody and KR1 sitting down and chilling, eating pizza. And everybody's like, it was just fun. So we did that. It aired between Christmas and New Year's. Boom. Highest ratings in the history of BET. So now when New Edition regrouped and Johnny Gill came in, we did a heartbreak special. I always think it was heartbreak. I think it's heartbeat. And that became the highest rated show in the history of BET. Then we did another show for Easter. And that was the one where I said we brought in Hammer. And we talked to kids that week. And we also had K-9 Posse, The Blip and all of those guys, Vernon. And so, once again, highest rating in the history of BET. So, with between Labor Day and Easter, Rap Week broke ratings records 3 times.
Wow.
I go on vacation, boom, and that's when we had a rap show.
Wow. Okay. All right. So I'm thinking back a little bit. If you could do something differently, what would you do anything differently?
I'm going to tell you no. You know what? I tell people I only have one regret in my life. You know what that is?
What?
I had an autograph from Muhammad Ali and I lost it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, where, okay. We all growing up, when we're living at home, that top drawer is where we keep our money.
Yeah.
Social security card, birth certificate, and any other thing that we want to have. And sometimes your baseball or football cards. And I put it in there. And I, to the light, I don't know what happened to that autograph from Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
And I almost got hit in the face because you know Muhammad do this. Yeah. Like he's going to hit
Wow.
me. And so to me, that's my only regret. Anything that's happened, good or bad, has always yielded something else. Sometimes bad things happen so you can understand something. Sometimes bad things happen to keep worse things from happening. So now, and here's the thing about Rap City, what made it so great is it kept living for 19 years. Because I was there for a year, and then I started my own company. But it was good to know that as the years went by, people were putting energy and different ideas in. And to see, you had Chris Thomas and then Prime, who was the person that Hans, who really helped us establish it. Then Joe Claire, Big Tigger, Big Les, Mad Lynx, QA4. You know, it kept going because not only the hosts, but the producers came up with ideas to keep it fresh. And so the only way to have a legacy is to have something that can be continued, and you don't get to continue, you get to start it.
Okay. I watched the documentary, and one thing that I really found interesting was in the beginning when you were talking about the difficulty of, you know, creating the show. And so was it difficult to get people like to advertise on the show? Was that something that was hard in the beginning?
Not once the show became popular. So the difficulty was people thought that rap wasn't going to last. They said, "Oh, it's just some, you know, this, you know, don't take it seriously." But like I said, when Hans, aka Prime, when he started believing it, and I started listening, I'm like, there's something there. I've always been a creative person, and a lot of times things come and you don't want to miss it. So I've been very fortunate, you know, not only with Rap City, but I was one of the first people to do video online, working with Microsoft in 2006. They were calling it new media. So right now, there are people who are watching stuff on 4K. And video was like 320 by 240. So it was 25% of the resolution of standard def, not only let alone HD. So for me, it's always been about going to that next level, what's next, what's going on. And if you plant the seed, you water it, you grow, and you let other people come along. So you don't plant a tree so that you can sit under it. You plant a tree so other people can sit on it. And it's, instead of just a tree, you want to build a forest. You want to build places where other people can benefit from. And that's the great thing about what has happened with the artists. You know, folks like Ludacris and Busta Rhymes and T.I. to be able to present opportunities for folks. And you don't know where it's going to turn out, and you don't predict where it's going to turn out. You just feel good about it, and you just let it go. And so there are people that I know who are watching, listening, and they got some ideas, and they're like, well, I don't know. No. I told you I have music for the Rap song. There's a song by Seawind called Follow Your Road. You know, you have to follow your road, and one day your road may take you far away. So I think if this whole thing, if it's done anything that I would like for it to do, I want people to, one, to reminisce and feel good about watching Rap City and what they got out of it. But I want them to, while they're feeling good about it, also come up with something that you want to do. Have a dream. Because with Joe Claire and Tigger, you know, they wanted that job bad. They were like, who, what? And because they wanted it and they wanted to do whatever, it started moving in a direction for them. And so I tell people, well, actually, I get this from Les Brown. You got to be hungry. Because if you're hungry, because for me, I wanted to work in radio and TV, I'm like, I'll sweep a floor, I'll answer the phone, I'll get the mail. Just get me in that room. To the point, in D.C., there's a show called It's Academic, and it's a quiz show for kids, right? I wanted to be on that because I wanted to be on TV. I studied, and I got on It's Academic. I only answered one question. It was a music question, but still.
Oh, okay. So, jumping, we're going to take a jump a little bit. So social media, the climate has changed over, you know, significantly because of social media and everything. So I noticed in the documentary that you talked about, that they talked about social media kind of killing television not killing it, but taking the eyeballs off of television, and it was harder to get people to watch. So do you feel like there's a place for a rap city in this generation on television, or is everything being done on social media?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, remember when the new girl came in school?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody paid attention to the new girl.
Yeah.
And after a while, they're like, yeah, okay. So everybody goes for what's new and shiny. Everybody wants to go, this is played out, and da-da-da-da-da. And so I guess I am a testament that sometimes things don't get played out. It just has to come back to a second time. If you think about it, 50 years ago, hip-hop started. Hip-hop is old enough to join AARP. And so with that, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at the folks who loved it. There's different tiers of hip hop now. And with that, we know a little more. There was a group out of Seattle, and one of the lyrics they had is, time flies, you get more wise, and your mind changes. Mm-hmm. So we haven't left the desire for hip hop. We've just changed, and, you know, we're looking at it differently, and we're also looking at it because it's always a better time and a not as crazy time when you look back at it. Because think about what was going on when we were listening to Funkadelic, and they were going SDD, get off your A and jam. And even with rock and roll, they thought it was the devil's music. So what I look at with anything, people thought TV would take away from the movies. There's always supposedly something that will take away from something. It's an alternative, and it's something that can be incorporated. But, you know, people watch the Super Bowl. When the Final Four comes in, people are going to watch it on TV. So I think everybody likes the idea of beef and ooh, and what about this? And let me just say this. People thought there was a beef between BET, MTV, Rap City, and Yo MTV Rap. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ted Demme, rest his soul, was a wonderful guy. And I can't remember if we needed a tape or a battery and Ted, like, give him one. And so I think people like drama and conflict. And we're at a point now where we've had too much drama, too much conflict. It's like just simmered down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People go about Rap City in the basement. Yeah, we don't need to be in the basement. We can be in the penthouse. You know, we can be in the C-suite.
It changed. Yeah, you're right.
It changed. Because think about it. The people who are having jobs, people who are getting ready to retire, people who are having their own businesses and are at executive level, they grew up on hip-hop. If I go, been a long time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. You know, jam on it, the whole nine yards. Oh, speaking of, it's a different but relative. I've been working with Core Masters Barry at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center out in Southeast D.C. And these kids come in, they learn tennis, but they also have after school, they're learning sewing, the whole nine yards. And we've been doing over the years, this is 17 years, I think I've been with them about at least 14. It's called Blacks and Wax. So each year there's a theme. And the kids from ages of 6 to 18 play characters, either posthumously or alive. So you may have a young girl who's playing Melanie Campbell, and Melanie Campbell will be there in the audience, or Tamika Mallory, or Ernie Green from Little Rock 9. So this year, because it was the 50th year of hip-hop, we did it on hip-hop. So you had folks playing MC Hammer. It's funny because he comes out there, and he's, you know, he's got the leg pants, and he's da 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 da, and he's dancing so hard he can't even do his lyrics because he's his words, because he's out of breath. And it's like, stop, and these kids. But if you go to Kennedy Center .org and type in Blacks and Wax, you'll see that. But I really feel that this is going to come back. I mean, there's so many good times. It's almost like you ever go to your class reunion or family reunion, and mm-hmm. you get a chance to reconnect. The one thing that I've seen with Rap City is that people, they smile. They talk about it. And mm-hmm. everybody's got that favorite. Oh, man, what about when, you know, Cameron did this? And what about that? And no. But you missed the part with this. Remember Kenya? You know, and, well, Tigger could rap too. But it was, all of it was just fun. Yeah. And I think we as people, we live in a time now where everything is so stressed, and that they're bringing chairs through here. But everything's so stressed and everybody's worried about stuff. We just need to just, in the words of, I told you I got music, Tourette syndrome, in the words of Guy, let's chill, you know, just have so. I would like to think Welcome Rap City brought people back to a time that was fun for them, and that we know that we can go on, we can get to that point again. So to me, it's just funny. The best part about all of this, about the documentary, my sister called me and said, you know, this must be important. I'm like, why you say that? Mommy's not going to Bible study. She's going to watch you. So my mom's 91. My dad's 93. My father's, yeah, you know, we're proud of you. And if you think about it, all any boy wants is his dad to be proud of him. Look, yeah. Daddy, I tied my shoes. Oh, that's good. Son, they go clean your room. I mean, think about it. Even when you learn to potty, if your parents go, it's just that. So the idea that... Oh, the other thing was, I was talking to the assistant pastor, and I'm telling her, I said, yeah, your mom got in front of church, and she read from a piece of paper, it was like an envelope, and she told everybody what time you're going to be on and where and that. I'm like, oh, I was in the kitchen with her when she wrote that down. So, and she's like, you know, my son's going to be on TV, it's BET, and it's called, what? What's up, Rap City? I don't know, but he's going to be on there. That's the fun part. It's just that people are enjoying themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And just think, I've done something that I can come on the Spade Show. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
I can.
That was super important. Rap City was super important. Mm-hmm. So if you have... There's a lot of aspiring content creators, you know, that watch and listen, and what type of advice, with your experience, would you give them if they want to do something in the realm of hip hop?
Come on, Cletus, just do it. Here's the thing: we were created by our creator. And if we're in the image of our creator, that means we are creatives also.
Mm-hmm.
Just create. Create till you're tired of creating. And then when you're tired of creating, stop creating and go have some fun. And you know what we call it when we stop working and have fun?
What?
Recreation. Recreation. So we mm-hmm. are meant to be creative, and we stop being creative. We stop... so that we can recreate again. That's okay. Who we are. We are creators. Just do it. Amen. And
be like Nike. Be like Nike and just do it, right?
Exactly. But here's the other thing. It's okay if it ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if it doesn't work. Most comedians that I know got booed off the stage first time.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm thinking about doing comedy, and I'm like, yeah, I may get booed more than once, but still. But here's the other thing I tell folks. Listen, when someone wants to do something, they feel it in their heart. Bless their heart and don't let them do it. And if it's not good, I don't care. If the person ain't funny, but he's doing the comedy show, buy a ticket. You know what I mean? If someone's baking cakes and if it just ain't right, buy a cake. Matter of fact, buy two so they can buy the ingredients they need. Support other people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You reached out to me. I'm going to support you.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I ask is, can I come back?
Yep. Anytime.
You know, getting it once is one thing, but getting a chance to come back at it and being offered again, something special. And guys know that.
Yeah. Definitely.
That, yeah.
So are you interested in, are you working on any projects related to hip hop right now? Or are you interested in that? Because I know I know that right now you have the Blacks and Wax. And what are you involved in anything like hip hop related?
You know, I was just talking about this. And so you are going to be the first person that I tell on the public.
Okay.
I'm planning for when we want to kick it off in June, which is Black Music Month. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a series called Rap City Creator Presents. And so what we want to do is talk to some of the folks from hip hop. And it's more of a remember the time, you know. It's MC Hammer. Like, yo, man, remember this cassette you gave me? It's Chuck D. Hey, man, how's Dominique? I remember your daughter. Are you a grandpa yet? Talking to Kid and Play. Remember the time y'all were at the Cap Center and people ready for go-go and they booed you off the stage? And that's why y'all did Roll with Kid and Play and Shake Your Thing. Salt and Pepper did Shake Your Thing with Sugar Bear. It's those memories. As a matter of fact, I just reached out, was in contact with Search from Third Base, and we were talking about the time in Indianapolis. We did a show for Black History Month. I want to have those conversations because those are memories. Those are things that I've felt and I've loved. And you just feel nobody cares. And now you realize they do. It's the insight. I think what people like about our conversations is I get a chance to tell them things. They're like, yo, never knew about that. You know? So even, remember I was talking about Hank Shockley and we went back and forth. So it ended up that was the catalyst for the Night of the Living Bassheads video.
Mm-hmm.
He says, man, I thought about what you said. I found a video. It's me and Ice Cube going back and forth because I'm not playing N.W.A. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Will Smith is like, yo, man, I'm not saying that. He's playing me. And then from there, it's Eazy-E and I having a conversation in the hall. Like, look, man, I know where you're from. You got to do this. You have to represent. I said, listen, I'm from Glen Arden, Ardmore in Maryland, Prince George's County. I can't go to the Glen Arden playground and say, yo, you know, I'm BET. Quiet stomach, like, yo, man, remember you used to miss the bus all the time and my mother would pick your butt up on the side of the road. And so I try to tell people, hey, I may not be able to do this. It's not that I don't want you, but I'm not in the position because of the fallout. And so, yeah, I want us to be able to get along. I want us to move forward. We need a lot of healing. So people who are creative, you think, well, I got something good to say or positive nobody wants to hear. Yes, they do. Just keep talking. Like I said, that intern in the sports department just kept talking about rap when nobody wanted to hear it is one of the major reasons that we have Rap City.
Okay.
The other part is I'm smart enough to know when I don't know Jack to listen to somebody else.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to hold you up too much longer.
I'm going to the you know, I'm here for the New York Auto Show, and Aston Martin's got a party on the other side of Park Avenue, so I got invited. And you know how when parties get, if it gets too packed, you can't get in?
Yes.
So this yes. is part one, man. Thank you. Thank you so very much for inviting me to be on the platform.
It's an honor.
Yeah. I would have been there earlier, folks, but he told me what I needed to do, and I did what I was supposed. I thought I was supposed to do. And so we lost about five minutes of time. 5 minutes, you can't get back.
I appreciate you calling. That was a lot of information that I really enjoyed. Rap City was a very important part of my life. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody that created that programming, and like that was one of the only shows that I watched when I was growing up. And you know, I appreciate you.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. It was a team effort. I started it, but it couldn't have had. Look this way: if everybody who touched the ball dropped it, Tom Brady would not be going to the Hall of Fame. So it takes that. So here's the other thing: it's like information. I did a talk show with XM Radio from 2003 to 2007. And so, mm-hmm. remember I told you I was an academic team. So I'm a nerd. I'm all this information. I had to figure out what to call it. And I just called it too much information. DMI.
That's a good title.
It worked out pretty well because we talked about everything except for sports. But we could talk about anything.
And, yeah, I like the title because it keeps it open. You can kind of talk about anything.
Oh, yeah. We did music one day, comedy. You know, and during that time, I've been working up on Capitol Hill covering hearings for about 19 years. And so I would talk about stuff that happened on the Hill that have people some perspective so they can understand what was going on. So one night I'm at a place and it's Sheila Jackson Lee. And I'm like, hey, I know it's late, but if you're up at midnight, would you call in? And I was telling people I met her. She probably won't. It's late. She calls in. Boom. That's for a segment. Second segment. We do something with Erykah Badu. Boom. So Thursdays, we would do stand-up. So we would take young artists, comedians who were out in L.A. at the clubs, fringe clubs in the Valley and places, and they would literally come out into the parking lot and do a stand-up on the telephone.
Uh-huh.
So I go back to listen to one of the old shows. So we got Sheila Jackson Lee for a segment. Second segment, Erykah Badu. And then we have this young lady I'd never heard before, but my very good friend Constance used to work with the Bus Boys. She managed the Bus Boys, and so she had an inroad with Eddie Murphy and the Murphy Boys, so she worked with a lot of comedians. And so she had found this young lady who nobody knew anything about. It just happened to be Tiffany Haddish. And at the time, I was married, and she's like, you're cute. Are you married? I'm like, yeah, I'm married. She goes, I saw your picture on MySpace. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
My picture on my space.
Wow. That's funny. Tiffany Haddish.
I got plenty of stories. We had Gabriel Iglesias. We had Paul Mooney a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bob Saget, you know, the father from Full House.
Yeah.
George Clinton. I had one time we had John Amos, and he actually called Janet Dubois. And we had James Evans Sr. and Wilona on the show.
Mm. So, wow. Good times.
Yeah, good times, exactly.
one of my favorite shows.
Damn.
Yeah.
But you know what? The more we talk, the more we can just go deep. Good times dealt with a lot of subjects. Like gang violence. Remember JJ got shot?
Yeah.
Abuse. Remember Penny would get abused by her mother? They mm-hmm. tackled things that were going on that other people were afraid to talk about. But it opened dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because people knew what was going on. Look, you know, everybody got in their family or uncle that they won't let their kids spend the weekend with.
Yep.
Do not. Where'd you get the quarter from, Uncle Jimmy? Give it back.
Yeah.
You know, these are all open secrets, and we have to deal with these things, especially people of color, so we can heal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the trauma is something's happening, it's not being acknowledged. Not only am I not protected, it's like I'm crazy for even bringing it up.
Yeah.
And so that's what I like to see. We need a lot of mental health because we've gone through so much and we pushed it to the side and it just, you know, piles on us. And if you think about it, Rap was talking about that. Don't push me. I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
That's a whole different conversation, mental health, man. That's a deep conversation right there.
Yes, and we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially as black men, because I know a lot of black men that do, they hold everything in.
I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Next time you get on a plane, if you sit over the wings, as you're going down the runway, you'll see the wing does this. It has to have some flexibility because if not, it breaks.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows engineering and knows about tension, and you got to have elasticity. And we got to say, hey, this ain't right.
Yeah.
You know, you got to say, yo, this is effing with me right now.
Yeah.
And somebody has to be able to let you say it. And sometimes they ain't got to do nothing, just a fact that you can say it. Because sometimes we are afraid to say things and we hold it in. That's why we have stress. Here's the thing. If you're not at ease, you are diseased.
Yeah.
And a lot of our diseases come from that stress. That's why we have the heart attacks. That's why we have the stroke. So, yeah. We can talk about a whole bunch of stuff. You know that? And I like talking with you. I mean, and we're laughing and joking, but we're also talking about things that are serious, that are deep.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's the key. We can laugh and joke, but let's talk about these things that we need to talk about and don't be afraid. And then we can laugh at it because we go, oh, man, yeah, I know what you did. That's why the people like the blues.
Yeah.
All the stuff that happened to them. They go, yeah, I know what you mean. So
that's why they sing the blues.
I'm having, one for the fact I want to go see this new Aston Martin. I just stick around. So
I appreciate you, man. Definitely. And you're welcome back anytime. Anytime you have a project you're working on. Yo, I'm 100%, 100%, anytime.
I appreciate you, man. That I've enjoyed this conversation. I'd love to have more of these.
Of course, definitely. We will.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask
him. It was nice meeting you.
Look, I was supposed to be gone 15 minutes ago. I'm going to ask him about you keeping me from, you know. If I miss the giveaway, we're going to have cars.
All right, go check out the cars, man. I appreciate your time, man.
Same here, man. Thank you for just gracing me with the ability to meet you and to share with you, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you. All right. Enjoy the cars.
Oh, you know that.
All right.
All right.